Well, hi, everybody. John Assraf here one more time. You know my voice by now, and the good news is I've got to know all of your voices as well. And welcome to another edition of Our Having It All Challenge. And today is a continuation of spirituality, spiritual growth, spiritual understanding. And I've got a very special guest on the call. And this individual, somebody who's become very, very close to me in the last probably just over a year. He started off with Tristan and his beautiful wife, Sabrina, becoming coach or one coach clients and having this idea to do something together, you know, with me, even though we didn't know each other. And they just set that out as their intention and meditated upon it and put a little plan together and presented it to me. And that led to us becoming partners in iGrasshopper. And if you haven't had a chance to check out iGrasshopper, which I think everybody here already has, and many of you are already using the iGrasshopper products, i-grasshopper.com. What impressed me the most working with Tristan and playing really with Tristan and his wife Sabrina building iGrasshopper is the commitment to the practice. And no different than a professional athlete, you know, practices every day and really looks to hone his skill. You know, he and his wife really practice and they walk their talk. And that's something that I cherish and I love so much about them, and something that I like around my friends, you know, people that we associate with is people that walk their talk, don't just talk about it, and people who actually do it. And in really deciding to be partners with them, their background, both of them have been on just a beautiful spiritual journey individually and together. And it's been a wonderful experience to observe, you know, their growth, and a wonderful experience to just share some magical moments together. And so there's a lot of different meanings, as you all know, about, you know, what is spirituality. And we're going to have some good dialogues tonight about that. What I'd also like to make sure that we include is, you know, some questions from you and some answers to the questions that were sent out that were taken from some of the interviews that I've done in the past with Shore Slocum or with Michael Beckwith. And so just your thoughts around that. Let's deepen our understanding and deepen our awareness of different points of view together. So we're not going to do the sage on the stage where, you know, Tristan's going to talk. I will ask him a whole bunch of questions and give you some insights. But let's really get into some dialogues like we did the last time, which I found very, very enriching and very, just very, very wonderful. And it really helped, just helped me have a great feeling after the last call we were talking about spirituality. And so for a moment, if you just take a deep breath, and as you exhale, just think and feel the different people, you know, that are connected here for whatever reason, from all walks of life, from different vantage points, different experiences, different socioeconomic statuses. But somehow we just got connected. It's just beautiful. And we're supposed to be together. So just take some deep breaths. And I got smiling from ear to ear with my eyes closed right now, just thinking, you know, it's just unbelievable when you really think about the magnificence of what's going on here. I mean, you think about the microscopic, tiniest of tiniest of tiniest of tiniest particles, and beneath that, the nothingness that is there, all the way through from the microscopic, you know, all the way up to the physical, to the macroscopic, and into the universe expanding, yet we're all connected, just totally connected, like an invisible web that unites each one of us, one to the next, to the next. And somehow, this little cluster called Having It All got together. So just be in awe for a moment of just that thought. There's people all over the United States, Europe right now, that are on this call, I believe. We've got our European contingency here as well. But, you know, how did we get connected? Just out of in a space and time continuum. So just enjoy a couple of deep breaths and just have a great big smile on your face. Maybe you'll want to be thankful. If you remember, just to use your three two, and one sequence. You can close your eyes and at any time, anywhere, just shift your brain, just shift, just like that, from one frequency to the next. And that just puts you into that really blissful state. As you stay there longer and longer and longer, you just feel more and more and more connected. It doesn't matter that there's telephones and wires or wireless. That's irrelevant. We're just all connected. All connected. So what I'd like to do first is let's give whoever would like a chance to ask some questions first, either about the last call or some questions about spirituality. And who's got a question about anything that we've talked about spirituality the last time we were on, or questions you've got, whether it's money, spirituality, health, wealth, whatever, spirituality, any questions? Why don't you ask some questions, and Tristan and I are going to get into a bit of a dialogue, and we'll get his perspective on what the theme is all about.
Hi, John. This question is probably to Tristan. Okay, Tristan, you shared a beautiful visual representation last Having It All Challenge, the life balancing wheel.
Yes.
I really loved that. And in fact, I stuck it up in the center of my vision board.
Right.
And it talks about, like, it covers home environment, personal goals, romantic relationships. Can you talk a bit more about that and how you keep, how you maintain all these different aspects of your life and how you maintain this all-roundedness?
Love to. Well, it's kind of like juggling balls sometimes, isn't it? Because when you take full responsibility for your life, you realize there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And so you need a plan. And you need a schematic almost to see what's really going on. And so that wheel that I made was born out of my frustration because I was finding myself excelling in one area and compromising others. So what I needed to do was to step back and map out my life a little bit. And I found that I had really focused on my spiritual practice as well as my physical health, but I had neglected my financial practice, if you will, my business. I was just sort of letting it run on its own, and it was doing okay. And my relationships, you know, they were rocky up and down. And so I pulled back and I thought, okay, Tristan, you're a smart guy. Figure it out. And so I started writing down all the different core areas of my life that I felt were very important, the priorities. And I saw them like spokes on a wheel. And if those spokes, one of them was too tight or too loose, the wheel of my life would, you know, be bumpy and would roll poorly. And then I realized if I could just have some sort of metric, a way to measure, very simply just check in, how am I doing in each area of my life? So, you know, we've simplified that wheel at iGrasshopper to focus upon health, wealth, relationships, business, and spiritual practice. I had expanded that wheel a little bit more by breaking the relationships down into not only my romantic relationship, but my relationship with my family, the relationship with my friends, my social engagements. Was I taking time to rejuvenate myself, not just my workout, but was I having fun? Am I taking the time to play and take a trip because you can overwork and miss out? Was I taking the time to keep my home beautiful because that's a sanctuary to me? It's a place where when I go home, I want to feel rejuvenated. So if my home was messy or the feng shui, if you will, was off, I knew that I wasn't going to be replenished. So I looked at all the areas, Tariq, and then I just said, okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, how am I doing? And I found that some were really, really low. And so I decided I would focus on those by finding mentors and coaches and studying and self-reflection and bring those numbers back up so that the wheel would nice and round. And as the wheel balances get better and better, you start spinning faster and faster in a good way. And that's how all these wonderful things started happening in my life. For example, meeting John and being able to become business partners, it's because I had the other areas kind of in check. And you asked another part to that question is, how do you balance it all? And I will tell you honestly, it is a challenge. But if you, for me, every 30 days I pull a fresh sheet, one of those out, and I check in. Because without, you know, taking the time to really look at how are you doing and give yourself honest feedback, you're just guessing. So it's a simple metric system to, and you have to be honest with yourself, you know. You can't live in denial. You look, you know what, my relationship is really sucking right now. I need to spend some time focusing on being more beautiful, giving more love, remembering why I signed up for this, and then just checking in and asking for help. And all of a sudden, the wheel starts to spin beautifully.
Right, right. I love the scale from 1 to 10 for each area. I didn't
got
that to the last challenge. Yeah, yeah.
Very simple.
Thanks, Tristan.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. All right, well, let's hold off on some questions if we can for just a few moments. Let me just talk with Tristan about some of his disciplines around, you know, what is spirituality to you, Tristan, if we can just get into your head around, how would you define it?
Well, John, I think knowing you and knowing me, we're on the same plane here. Spirituality for me is none other than living life from a conscious mindset. It's being tapped into that flow of the source of all, and then using that connection to serve our families, to serve humanity, to give back, because we're so grateful and we're overflowing. Is it a religion? No, not necessarily, because everybody is spiritual. Everybody finds their own way. And so perhaps it's just being connected to who you really are, which is love.
So when you say that, who you really are is love, what do you mean by that? You're love. We're love. I'm love. Everybody on this call is love. What do you mean specifically?
So when I sit quietly and I'm just the mind, all the thinking and all of the to-dos and my story sort of moves to the side, if you will, I find myself in this here now moment that we hear people talk about all the time, right? Be present to the moment. I find my breath is breathing me. And whatever that thing is that's breathing me and giving me life and healing my wounds and running my organs and giving me inspiration, that must be love, because I don't know what else to call it.
And so when you said that's breathing for you, does that mean you don't think you're breathing for yourself?
Well, I think my body is mechanically breathing, and I know that my body, I can regulate my breaths consciously. But when I go to sleep at night, I suppose the subconscious takes over and does all of that for you. And it seems to me that the subconscious is a doorway to a dimension of spirit. And I feel as if spirit, the thing that's growing the trees and the plants and moving the universe, is doing that to me also. And I'm part of all of that. And so that, whatever that is, if we could put a name on it, it's been so many names, that is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. And how do you personally connect? What is your last, you know, we talked last, a couple weeks ago or last week, we talked about the different rituals that people can use to connect, to feel the connection. I don't even think it's to connect. I think it's just connected, but I think it's just the awareness of that connection. What do you do personally to become more aware and in touch with that connection, or with that spirit, as you called it?
You know, that's a really important point that you just mentioned. I don't want to skip over that, that you're not really connecting to anything. You are already that. And so if anything, you're just removing the veil that seemingly separates you from it, but you're not. And how do I remove that veil? I try to use as many tools as possible for myself, because there are different ways to embrace life. So it might be in the morning sitting to meditate. That's a practice that I've been doing for a long time, and I personally love it. It was a discipline for many years to learn meditation and be able to just sort of let to get meditated, if you will. I like to use the example of when you want to get a suntan, you have to go and ask the sun to tan you. No, you just have to make yourself available. Right? Please tan me. All you do is you sit down, you know, get the clothes out of the way, and enjoy. Right? So
I love that.
That's my experience.
There are guys on the bleachers.
Yeah, we've got some friends on board. So meditation for me is one of the tools, John, that I love to feel that.
How specifically do you meditate?
I'm trying to stop trying to meditate. My practice now is just to be really quiet. And I honestly, at this stage, I just feel my breath breathing me. But that wasn't something I could do in the beginning. And if, for example, I'm having a busy mind, thought-filled day, I will focus upon one thing. It could be a task, or it could be something that I choose to look at, like a flower. And I'll just be with that flower for a moment. Maybe I'll even describe it to myself so that I'm focused on just that. And then I'll start to move towards the center of it and feel like I'm looking from a still point right above the bridge of my nose. Works beautifully for me. And then as I'm getting my mind more concentrated, I'll become more aware of things. For example, my breath. Or there's some tension in my body, and I now notice it. Like you said, you become more aware. So I will practice consciously releasing that tension. And as my nervous system calms down, and I bring more oxygen into my body by doing deep diaphragmatic breaths, I notice my mind calms down. The slower my breath, it seems that the waves of the brain slow. And we're moving from that beta frequency we've talked about into the alpha and the thetas and things like that. So the brain seems to shift, and all of a sudden I seem to be more aware, more perceptive, kind of like when you're in the kitchen and all of a sudden you notice the motor of the refrigerator turns off and it gets quiet and you go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how noisy that motor was because it was always going. That's what my experience is like. And all of a sudden it's quiet, and that's just the best.
Very, very cool. And do you do any prayers at all during the day or any affirmations or anything like that? I know that you're using iGrasshopper, but leave that aside for now.
Do I pray? I think every moment is a prayer, honestly. It's what are you declaring? What is your self-talk? What are you focusing on? What is your daily mantra? Yes, every morning I step out of that bed and I say, today is the day that I'm going to love more than ever before. That's a prayer for me. Constantly remembering throughout the day, why am I doing what I am doing? I constantly ask the question, and that seems to be like a prayer for me.
Love it. Love it. And so where does money and spirituality fit or don't fit into the equation with you? And can you maybe walk us along the journey that you may have had, you know, when you first got into some of the spiritual practices and teachers that you were learning with? Give us some of that background if you can.
My first spiritual practice was surfing, being in the ocean and being humbled by the water and the waves. And I think that led me to wanting to be more in nature. So I would say nature was my first teacher. And that evolved into the martial arts. And then I had beautiful martial art teachers who taught me about discipline and focus and going beyond fear. And one of those teachers was a black belt from Chuck Norris, Mr. Bob Burbage, who's passed away since. And he taught me about passion and really falling in love with something. And he said, you have to live, breathe, eat, and sleep martial arts. And so this is where that self-mastery began for me as a young boy. I somehow got my hands on a black belt. You're not supposed to. I wasn't a black belt yet, but I got one. And I put that black belt under my pillow. And every night I would look at it and I would dream about becoming that. And I would sleep on that pillow. And what do you think my subconscious mind was imprinting, right? And that was my spiritual practice next, was using my body as a way to be completely total in what I was doing. It was so zen. I mean, if you were going to spar, you couldn't be in fear. You had to be right in the moment. So that was probably the next phase of spiritual training, if you will. And then I got my black belt, And I had the belief that when you got a black belt, you would be fearless. There would be such a level of self-mastery and power that no longer would I feel self-conscious. No longer would I be afraid of asking a girl out on a date or anything. And honestly, I was still afraid. I was a tough, afraid person. So, you know, I was very disillusioned getting that black belt. I didn't know what to do. I went to that instructor. I said, I'm still afraid. He said, no, you're not. You can't be. You're one of my best black belts. You're tough as nails. You know, just own it. And so I tried and tried and tried, and I went to all the different martial arts styles and tried to be the toughest, baddest, you know, fighter person I could be. And all I did was layer on more fear. And one day I had another teacher, Dr. Richard Schultz, and he looked at me and he said, you need to learn how to meditate. And somehow in that moment when he said it, I knew he was right. I knew that this was coming from my mind and that my body had taken me as far as it could go in that level of mastery, and I must now learn to control and transcend these fearful thoughts. So I began a spiritual practice of meditation and found an incredible teacher that taught me about the ego and the reactive self and about really just living as if there's no tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, that is the best way to live life. We were, Sabrina and I, as you know, in a head-on car wreck last January in 2009. And, you know, I saw my life and her life flash before my eyes. And we walked away from that. I don't know how. Grace of God, I suppose, because that was it. I said, never am I holding back. I cannot miss another day because that could have been the last one. And perhaps that's my most spiritual practice right now, is just to never miss another day.
And let me ask you a question, because when you were in the hospital for how long after your car crash?
We didn't go.
The car crash years ago when you injured your back.
Oh, actually, that was a accident in martial arts. Felt like a car crash.
Oh, okay.
That lasted for 5 years. That was, bar none, the most challenging time in my life because I lost my identity as a martial artist. I now look back and see that it was a gift in disguise because it took me on a journey that I would have never taken. It took me into visualization and affirmations and deepened my spiritual practice and my level of self-healing. And I just went for that whole mind-body connection to truly understand. And like you were able to heal your tummy issues with these tools that we both love. That was the only way that I ever got back. I mean, I had surgery, a $90,000 surgery in Beverly Hills, and it still didn't work after 5 years. And I used meditation, affirmations, and visualization to heal myself.
Wow. And so you had a real awakening of the mind-body connection.
100%. 100%. I would have killed myself if I couldn't figure it out because I couldn't move, John. I mean, I couldn't walk. I was in a wheelchair for a period of time. And now, tummy issues, it was cute.
I'm trying to humor everybody while they're listening to us. But,
one out there on the internet, brother.
I'll have to. Most people know about that. And so you've had several different experiences of really being that guy. I've heard from friends of mine that surfing is one of those things that you just feel so spiritual. You know, when you're surfing, it really is a spiritual practice as much as it is a sport. It's probably the most spiritual of the practices. I feel that way a lot of times when I'm skiing. When I'm just with nature and I'm just jamming down the mountains and it's just time and space are just irrelevant and just they really don't even exist. That's how I feel when I'm up at the mountains.
You know, that's a piece of heaven for me on the physical plane. You know, I don't need surfing to be grateful and tapped in, but boy, if I can have it, let me inside that tube. Because when you're inside the wave and all of a sudden you hear this sound like when you're looking down this pipe, you've seen some of the videos that people talk about and those life-after-life experiences where people go into the light. I don't know what it is, but being in that tube must be something like that because it's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is incredible. That's what I hear. I've never been in that too, but I've seen it enough, and it's incredible enough to watch people in there. So let me ask you about spirituality and money and your experience around the two. There's a point, I believe, in your young spiritual quest that there wasn't room for money and spirituality. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
And so explain to us what happened.
Well, you know how we're given a lot of spiritual teachings from the East, and they're beautiful, but they were born out of a different culture. And I tried to implement, and I was taught some of these teachings, and perhaps we're taught them in the West as well, as far as, you know, being careful not to be money hungry, or if you focus on money too much, you're greedy and selfish and not spiritual. But I had heard something like, the root of all suffering is desire. And I thought, oh boy, you know, if that's true, then I better not want anything. You know, just really go for that nirvana and sit under a tree and become enlightened like Buddha. And so I took that to the nth degree. And I know what it's like to have nothing because I did it deliberately. I sold everything I owned and I said, okay, I'll live like a monk. And honestly, it was great. I had no problem having no things. In fact, for a time, it was a relief. You know, I got rid of my condo in Malibu and sold my cars and everything and really walked that thing. But after a while, I felt so disconnected from my life. You know, I wasn't enjoying it anymore. I wasn't embracing all that life has to offer, having it all. And I had the misconception that materialism was superficial, and it's not at all. It's all that matters, really, is where are you coming from? You know, you can have all the stuff in the world and be miserable. You can have stuff around you and be blissed out. It's all a backdrop. So what I found over my little journey here is money is nothing but energy, right? We say it's currency. It's energy. It's flowing. And consciousness of money can be beautiful. What I mean by that is if I can really understand what money's purpose is, if it's just energy, then I can consciously use that energy to take care of my family, to be of service, of contribution, to create environments for people to thrive and grow. And so that's what's happened with me is I said, you know what, I want to integrate all the aspects of living consciously, including money. So I turned to one coach because I want to be a black belt in business.
And so in order to become a black belt in martial arts or a black belt in business, what's the practice?
Oh, well, you mentioned walking the talk earlier, right? And you mentioned that client that was self-sabotaging. And really, for me, and then working with my students, getting them to these levels of self-mastery, I see a few components that are essential. And the first is you get absolutely 100% clear on what is the goal and why do you want it. And we've talked about the why. And if
right.
you've got your why in place, you'll have all the motivation and energy you ever need to get it, get to it, experience it, have it, whatever. It's your core desire. And for me, those are very emotional feelings. Most of my drive is because I'm so in love with my wife and I want to support her and just have it a beautiful experience of life together. Also, my family, I'm extremely driven by that. And also to serve my students and as many people as I can. I'm so clear on my why. So that's the first thing I talk about with the students. And the next is you got to have a plan, right? You got to know where you're going. Don't just guess. And so you need those coaches, those teachers that have walked the walk and can guide you and can save you time because, you know, why waste time? And then you just got to show up, right? There's going to be days where it's hard and you feel like you're moving backwards, but you just show up. I'm sorry, I'm going to say about where you stop bitching and you just get moving and you stay focused on your goal. You get your vision board in place. You look at it every day. You know, you turn off that negative self-talk. You retrain your brain. You do all the right things. You reprogram yourself for success and you go after it. And it's going to happen. But you do need discipline. There will be times where you just got to dig deep, man, and just do it anyway. And that's what I call the black belt mindset. Just go for it, and it's going to happen. And enjoy the journey.
I love it. I don't know. There's nothing else I can add or feel I need to add. So Absolutely excellent. Let's do this. Let's get some Q&As here. And so, Jennifer, if you can coordinate some Q&As for Tristan or any comments that you all have, you know, about what Tristan said or what you've experienced in any of the interviews that you've listened to with anybody that you cared to listen to that we provided you some interviews with. So let's get some dialogue open. You know, let's share some distinctions. Have you got a different perspective about it? Do you have any better practices for really, you know, connecting and becoming more aware of that side of your being, that almighty and powerful side of your being?
Mm. So Patrick is asking, how do we achieve more discipline in our lives?
Tristan, why don't you answer that, and then I'll chime in if I need to.
Okay, thanks, John. Great question. You're either born with it or you're not. No, I'm kidding. You really have to develop it. It's like an escrow account. Personally, you do it one day. You push yourself a little bit harder than you did before in whatever area it is, and you chalk it up. I just did more than ever before, and you put it in the bank account. And then you just kind of build that. And whenever you need it, you know that you've already done it before, so you just go and grab some and you use it. That's my simple answer.
I like that.
Let me chime in as well. And for me, it's something that if I'm consistently not disciplined to that new thought pattern or behavior, I used to beat myself up about it, and I don't anymore. Now I look at creating an environment that forces me into the behavior only until it becomes a habit. And so, for example, you know, I've had a personal trainer now for 3 years, and I can't not work out at least 3 or 4 days a week. I'd like to get it to 5, but 3 to 4 for sure. And so, but before it was 1 here, 2 there, maybe a little there, maybe a little bit more there. So it wasn't a discipline yet, even though I had the desire and the goal that I wanted. And so I forced myself by hiring a trainer. Now, if you can't hire the trainer or the environment, then you force yourself into another agreement with somebody else. So you look to your family, your friends, you look to a barter system, somebody who wants somebody that you can help them with, and they'll help you by making a commitment to a new environment and a new process and procedure. You force the behavior, and then as you do the behavior every day, every twice a day, 3 times, whatever it is, then you start to retrain the subconscious mind. When you retrain the subconscious mind over a long enough period of time, it becomes fixed. So let me give you an example. Are there things that you do right now that you wish you didn't? But it's a habit. And the answer for every one of us is yes. And so somehow that became a habit. It didn't become a habit in one attempt, okay, unless it may have been, you know, drugs. I think methamphetamines, 98% of people become addicted in one try. And so that's not a habit you want to even, you know, pretend to go after. But the point is, go after creating a different environment that forces the behavior, but you've got to make sure that it's something you really, really, really want, because force will only negate. And so make sure that it's something you really want. And when I say force the behavior, I mean just mean put yourself in the environment that's very, 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 very hard for you not to follow through with. And one of the things that I do is I pay, for example, my personal trainer in advance. And our deal is if I don't show up, I still get charged. And being Jewish, I hate that. So I go a lot of times when I really don't want to. So I'm using my own – I'm being serious. I mean, you think I'm kidding. I'm not. You know, I don't care if it's $20 or $75. I don't like to just lose it for the hell of it. And so there are many, many, many mornings where I'm supposed to go to the gym. I don't feel like it, but because I've already prepaid, I'm like, okay, go. And guess what? There isn't a time yet that I have done that where at the end of it, I don't feel, oh, thank God I came here, because I really want to be healthy and in shape. So I know it's something I really, really, really want, and so I'm prepared to put myself in the environment that forces me to do it when I really don't feel like it.
Can I add one, John? I just thought of a good one. And I may have
shared this. Absolutely.
Muhammad Ali hated running. He hated it. But he knew that if he was going to win, he had got to condition his body. He got to do the work. And so what he did was he took a stool and he sat it next to his bed and he put his running shoes and running shorts on him. And every morning when he woke up, that's the first thing he saw. He'd get up.
Wow. Cool.
There you go. There's a perfect example of altering your environment and the process to really make the behavior, you know, stick that you want. So there's multiple ways. The key first is to be aware, and then there's multiple ways to force yourself into that behavior.
Beautiful. Thank you. So Gus has a question. Do you have any experience with mantra meditation?
Well, yeah, mantra meditation came from the transcendental meditation field, Maharishi. And so a mantra is nothing more than a word or a sentence. And for example, if you go to the Having It All Ning community and you go to the right side, you'll see there's an Om meditation. And that is a mantra. They just keep repeating the word Om, O-H-M or O-M. And you could do that with a phrase, Satanama. If you watch the interview that I did with Dr. Dharma Singh, he actually shows it in the video that's available to all of you in the Having It All community under spirituality. So watch the interview that I did with Dharma, because he actually shows you exactly how he uses a meditation and a mantra called Satanama. And so you have your thumb and your forefinger touching together, that's Sa, and you move it over to your middle finger, Ta, then to the next finger is Na, and then the little pinky, Ma, and then you repeat it. So Sa, Ta, Na, Ma. Sa, Ta, Na, Ma. And it means something. I don't recall what it means, but Sa, Ta, Na, Ma means something. So that's a mantra that you can use. And the purpose is to really get focus and to get into that trance-like state that repetition puts you into. That's a very, very good way to meditate and to connect.
Donat is asking, he wants to know more, Tristan, about, he likes the balanced wheel idea. Can you talk more about it?
Okay. Well, let's see. For me, I like to convert the balance wheel, or rather than convert it, use it as a tool to develop my vision board. So I'll look at each area, and then I want to put a picture of each area on my vision board. But something that I like to do that's a little unique, I think, perhaps different, Sabrina and I came up with this a while ago, we thought, okay, the brain really learns well through stories, and it remembers well. So why don't we turn it into a little story? So we kind of designed it so that, you know, you see yourself waking up in the morning and eating a very healthy meal, perhaps meditating or exercising, and then you see yourself, you know, going from there to your job that you absolutely love, or the new building that you're going to buy and run the company or whatever it is, and you build it, the car that you drive in to get there, and then, you know, what's the next phase? You're picking up your wife to go out for dinner, and there's that wonderful restaurant you like to go, or whatever it is, and just go through the balance wheel and create a little story for your vision board.
And that's a really, really good way to do it. One of the things that I've been doing for many, many years is to write out your life story, and you do it in the present tense. And so you can start by saying, you know, I'm so grateful for the fact that I am now da-da-da-da-da, and so is happening, and I love it, and here's how I feel. So you create an entire story like you were writing a script for a Hollywood movie, and then you can add visuals, as Tristan and Sabrina have done, and that just all connects.
Exactly. Yeah, we love that movie style. That with our background, my father being a director and Sabrina being in film for all those years, we like to see it that way and edit out the stuff that you don't need, just like you're in an editing room, and then make that beautiful movie of your life.
I love it. Good question. Great answer.
So Glendia has a question about, are there levels of spirituality, or what does that mean to you?
I'm going to steer clear of the whole levels thing, just because it can bring the ego into wanting to get somewhere, and that's not the place you want to meditate from. You want to forget about levels and just really enter into the beauty of the moment and let the universe deal with the levels. It's going to give you what you're ready for. I trust that implicitly. There's a divine orchestration going on. And whatever I'm ready for, I just trust that the universe will give that to me. There was a beautiful poem that I read by Gibran. Is it Gibran? He says, let me not guide the course of love, for love, if it finds me worthy, will guide my course. And that really spoke to my heart. He wrote The Prophet. And just
Galil,
thank you.
Yeah.
Just allow yourself to be so open and so humble and so simple that you're going to be guided. And, of course, love finds us worthy, you know. But don't worry about the levels too much is what I would say. And, you know, Deepak Chopra, if you want to get into that, because there definitely are stages, he's got a seven languages of consciousness, I believe, or seven levels of consciousness, John. Is that correct?
I'm not sure about that particular... He's got the seven spiritual laws, which is
The seven laws of spirituality.
You can go through the whole chakra system and work your way through them. One thing that I found, though, is, and I've studied all of that, is that it can get a little. You can get a little bit caught up in trying too hard to get to another level. I guess is what I'm saying, and I think it takes care of itself.
Yeah, I think what you can be aware of is. There are definitely different experiences and different depths that you can access. And so, for example, you know, if you've studied or if you've done any of the research or paid attention to some of the stuff that I had out maybe about 2 years ago when Dr. Davidson was doing a research project with the Dalai Lama and his monks from Dhamsala. And they measured the brainwave frequencies in these monks. And for the first time ever, they measured a gamma brainwave frequency. And gamma brainwave frequency, if you study frequencies at all, is cosmic waves of energy. Now, they've never ever measured them in a human before until they did, you know, a few years ago. And so... There are definitely different, and again, the word levels is a good visual that you can experience, just like you can experience, you know, grade school, high school, university, and PhD. It's a different experience, each one just as beautiful as the next. And with practice, you can just access different, you know, different frequencies of consciousness is probably another way to look at it. And so you learn to surf the different channels like you do on the radio. You get to surf the different channels of the universe. And if everything's made up of frequencies, you can learn to access the different frequencies, you know, by doing some practicing. What other questions
do we have? I just put up one of the questions. I like that question. Unless somebody else has one, does you, John, or Tristan want to talk about how the universe conspires with each of us? In our lives?
I think whatever the universe is we're talking about, it hides in our heart. And every day it tugs on our heart and it asks us to be more beautiful, to be more loving and more giving, to be more disciplined, to be more in alignment with it, which is what we are. And that it's always there, and it's just something that perhaps gets covered up with all of the story and the to-dos and the stress and the drama of life. But when we were little babies, we were born from consciousness, and we were so beautiful and so innocent, and that's what we love, I think, about a beautiful baby. You just see that consciousness beaming through their eyes, and it's that innocence that we're returning to through our practice. And when we return to that innocence, we feel like we're being reborn, you know?
Yeah.
You're back in the source, but this time you're conscious, you know, you're aware. You've been through life, you've had experiences, and now you know, and it's even stronger because you've returned to it by choice. And so the universe has been pushing and tugging on us to return. And I went to a beautiful seminar once where the person was talking about this gorgeous tree. and the tree was just vibrant, and the leaves were so green, and it was bearing all of this fruit. And somehow, one of the branches had become disconnected from the tree. But the branch also looked so beautiful, and it was still vibrant, and the sap was flowing through it. And in that moment, it had identity. Hey, I'm doing great over here. I don't need to be part of the tree. I'm my own tree. And that went on for some time. And then, as you know, the sap isn't flowing, the nutrition isn't flowing. In the same way, that branch began to wither and fade, and the leaves turned brown. And so the word to remember, if you hyphenate between re and member, or reattach or reconnect, is to bring the branch that we are back to the root, back to the tree, back to the source, back to the life source, the life force energy. And whatever that is, when we're reconnected to that tree, that life is flowing through us. And from that place, it is so easy to create a conscious life, because you're in it, you know? It's what you are. You're in remembrance. I believe that the universe is constantly asking us to remember. And when we do, oh, what a ride.
Beautifully said and put, Tristan. Love that. That was gorgeous. I was watching a Discovery Channel program last night that Oprah Winfrey is narrating, called Life. And it was showing, you know, little bees going from, you know, one little plant to the next, and as they get the nectar, you know, they end up with pollen on their feet or on their little legs, and they go from tree to tree to tree and pollinate, you know, the plants. And even the most sophisticated heart plant to pollinate, there's a bird that, because of the way it does the exact same thing, the hummingbird specifically. And I was reminded just of the absolute sheer perfection of it all. And just like, you know, we take seeds for what we plant in the physical world, my belief is that, you know, the universe is planting seeds in the form of thought, in the form of cosmic waves of energy called thought, into our brains. And, you know, if you think about how many times somebody's had an idea that they've made millions with, and you said, God, I thought about that. Or back, if we go back several hundred years, where, you know, inventors on the different continents or opposing oceans, you know, had similar ideas and similar inventions, and there wasn't any way to communicate what each other was doing for months and months and months at a time. You know, so I don't believe that when we talk about co-conspire, I think when we are in certain vibrational states, being specifically alpha, that is our receptive state. That's when our soil is ready. And then if it resonates with us and it touches our heart and we start to take action and move towards that, right, so the universe likes speed. And so we've got to remember that that's where the, you know, co-creation comes in. And so that's how I look at it. So I'm co-creating. If I've got an idea that resonates with me, then it's for me to act upon. And if it doesn't resonate with me, then it's just going to be a fleeting thought.
John, can we ask you some questions?
Absolutely. Whatever anybody likes. This is your call. I love to, you know, this is a time for you guys to get to know Tristan a bit, and also to ask questions and to share your experiences, and to share your, you know, what you've been learning.
I would love to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
So after watching the movie The Secret and watching and listening to you and feeling your presence come through, it was so obvious that you had a deep spiritual connection, and yet you had learned how to integrate that connection into your life, into business, into family. And I'm sure you've talked about this before, but I haven't benefited by being able to attend all of these calls. I would love to know, how did you do that? I mean, you've worked in this world of business, and I'm sure at times it's been cutthroat and money and fields. And how did you awaken and bring spirituality so beautifully into your life and your business?
That's a, wow, interesting question. I just couldn't see it any other way. You know, when I started to talk about spirituality and business, you know, probably about 2003, there weren't a lot of people talking about it, but for me it was like introducing water. You know, it's like, it's so obvious, right? It's like, well, of course there's water. And a lot of people felt it, but people didn't really talk about it. There's, I think there was a huge confusion or an unawareness that religion and spirituality can be one and the same but don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I've always found is that, you know, because we communicate not just verbally but mostly non-verbally, people who feel that there's something beyond their physicalness would resonate with the message. And I learned a long time ago that, you know, I'm not here to please everybody or anybody. And I don't have to have my beliefs don't have to be the right beliefs or the wrong beliefs. They're just my beliefs. And whoever it resonated with, you know, would be attracted to what I was doing and what was, you know, going on in my life. And so I wasn't trying to shove anything down anybody's throat, and that's why I've never taken a religious side to it. And so for me, you know, spirituality is like saying, you know, do you want some water?
Exactly.
And for a thirsty person, it's like, well, of course I want some water. It's part of what I am, right? And we have to have water. And I haven't found anybody that who has made a decision to explore more, become more aware, regret that decision that takes a spiritual path. And I can't say the same for religious paths, but I can for spiritual paths. And there are many, many wonderful religions that offer a spiritual path as well, and some that are just not to my taste. So all I suggest for people is just do the things that are right for you. You know, that feels right for you, that allows you to explore the you know, the physical side of our being, the emotional and mental side, and also that spiritual side that does give us life, that does take care of the big heavy lifting stuff that manages the elliptical orbiting of all the planets around the sun, that manages the microscopic to the macroscopic and everything in between. There's something, I don't know what, you know, what you call it's irrelevant, but there's something there that we all get glimpses of, you know, hopefully more than a few times in our life. And if we're willing to pay attention to be aware, my God, it could be a magical journey.
You've been a beautiful example for me, and I thank you for that, because that's really all it takes, is just seeing one person that's doing it, and that's enough. All doubt is gone, you know. So thank you for being that for us.
Oh, it's my joy, my absolute joy. And for whatever reason, the universe, you know, chose me to do whatever it is that I do. You know, you just have to accept that. I mean, you don't have to, but if you just surrender into, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time was The Ten Commandments. Is The Ten Commandments, and you know, when Moses is asked to do what he's asked to do, he says, "Why me? You know, how will I know what to say? How will I know what to do?" And God says, "I will guide you. I will show you." And I just put all of my trust and faith there.
Mm.
Right? So who the hell am I? I mean, I'm nobody, you know, in the big scheme of things. But if God has chosen me to say a kind word or to have this ability to learn certain things, to share it with other people so that I can light the light upon their path while they walk, my goodness, what a wonderful blessing I have.
You know, something that struck me when I first met with you on the phone, John, was you asked, okay, let's take a moment and meditate. And I was just singing inside, because that's the practice that we do in our meetings sometimes. We take a moment to connect, like you did tonight so beautifully, by the way, taking us into that meditation. But you said that we'd never met before, and that was incredible, man. Like, that somebody wanted to start a meeting from center, from clarity, and that has been my experience with you. And I don't know if everybody knows that, but you actually take the time to do that in your business.
Well, you know, I try to incorporate as much of what I believe into what I do, and you know, one of the things that's important to me is that you do what you what you preach to as much as you can. And by no means am I doing it every day, all the time. I am the plumber with the leaky faucet more times than I care to admit. And I look to get back to more spiritual practices on a regular basis in all of my affairs. And it's just a constant practice, a constant reminder, it's kind of like an airplane that's going from one destination to another. You know, even though the coordinates are set in the automatic pilot, it's off course 99% of the time. And the autopilot keeps adjusting because it knows the end result, the course that it wants to get to. And so, you know, I keep adjusting, and always try to keep a loving perspective and care and kindness no matter what in my heart.
It's shining through.
Well, thank you, my brother. It's my joy. If my life could be used as an example of what not to do, as well as an example of what possibly to do, I accept that gift.
And I bet, like for myself, so many of the beautiful things that have happened in my life have been born out of doing the wrong thing or the struggles.
You turn your mess into your message, my brother.
Absolutely.
Turn the mess into the message. All right, who else? Questions? Questions, answers, comments?
Seems there's one here.
Are you guys learning? Are you growing? Are you enjoying?
I think we kind of just talked about Tarek's question. Can being exposed to negative events and challenges help you discover your true nature?
And he mentioned, I think more so than positive events. You know, if you think about pressure and coals and diamonds, a lot of times, you know, the lessons that we learn through our hardest challenges shape us more than the other stuff. And I don't know what it is about that, but you know, it's definitely one that that we learn hopefully a lot faster. But I do believe our positives and our negatives shape us without question. And the key is to learn the lessons. And what I found is if you don't learn the lesson, you repeat the course.
Donat's saying he finds that these calls are very important. It always seems like another step forward for him.
Good. That's the whole idea, Donat.
And Eve says she has Spiritual Liberation. That's a Michael Beckwith book.
Excellent. Great book.
It's so beautiful to take the time to actually acknowledge growth and transformation. I remember a period in my work and self-evolution and such that I was holding back in actually expressing what was going on with me. And, oh, well, maybe I'm really not changing, or I shouldn't say anything, or... And somebody shared with me, no, it's really important to acknowledge your transformation and your growth, because there's going to be times when that self-saboteur and that ego, whatever you want to call it, is going to come in and is going to doubt or deny that you've changed.
But if
you've been taking the time to really acknowledge that this is working and that there are steps being taken, it can't do that to you, you know?
Yeah. I encourage that to everybody, acknowledging all the time on a daily basis, as a matter of fact. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the point I wanted to really hit home is, number one, be gentle with yourself and understand that everything's unfolding exactly as it should. It may or may not be to your time frame or to your taste, but it is unfolding as it should. And the more focus you pay attention to, you know, what you're looking to manifest, the more you will see the results in your life. All right, so if there's a certain area in your life that needs more attention, that's where you pay the attention. And you think of it, you know, in three ways. Number one, what's the vision, the goal that I want? Okay, what are the strategies and tactics that I need to have on a physical plane? And then what is it on the emotional and spiritual plane that all line up to achieve that? And when you do, you know, that process where it's spiritual, emotional, and physical, that's the fastest way to get from point A to point Z in for any result in your life. And then you just got to get out of your own way and do what it takes. Because a lot of people think that, you know, if you're spiritual, everything's just going to fall on your lap. And I could tell you there's a lot of very poor monks financially that I know. but that's not their focus. And there's some others that are looking to enhance their wealth, and they own businesses, okay? And along with their spiritual daily practices, they also have their business practices. And when you line them up, guess what? You've got a really, really good flow and system. And it's like a combination to a safe. If you got all the numbers right and you've got them in the right order, boy, it's so much easier to open up the safe than if you don't have those numbers in the right order. And I can tell you, the spiritual side is the most powerful side. There's a lot of room for error when you're coming at it from a spiritual perspective. So just believe, and the belief will become your reality. All right, do we have any last comments, last ideas, last thoughts, last questions? Whatever you focus on appreciates, just remember.
Yeah. Thank you, Tristan. You are awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tristan. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jennifer.